And welcome back to Reporter's File, coming to you from the Iranian capital, Tehran. I'm Saeed Pourreza, and as promised, we'll continue our special coverage of the holy month of Ramadan. Stay where you are. This week's four reports are on the way. The holy month of Ramadan is celebrated in all Muslim countries around the world. Each country has its own style and atmosphere in celebrating the holy month. Palestinians in Gaza celebrate Ramadan with a variety of cultural and spiritual ceremonies. From Gaza, Mazen Naim has our first report.
The month of Ramadan is the holiest month on the Muslim calendar. It is the month in which Quran was first revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Muslims mark it by fasting from sunrise to sunset, but it is actually about more than just that. Each Muslim country has its own style in celebrating Ramadan, and Gaza is no exception. When you walk in the streets and markets, you would first recognize Ramadan symbolic lanterns, which represent the joy and happiness this month brings, especially for kids. The next thing you see is the famous Palestinian treat known as qataif. It is made in public, and people get the choice to either buy them ready or just buy the ingredients and make them at home. Either way, qataif is still the most famous cultural sign here for Ramadan. Ramadan is also a month for remembering those in need, and it is characterized by the public ceremonies and communal iftars held every day in various places. These communal iftars are usually held by organizations, unions, or individuals for people who are in need, like orphans and poor families, or for people from a certain group, like students or professionals.
Ramadan is the month of blessings and is the month for remembering others and connecting together in social events. For example, this communal iftar is for engineers and their families who came here to share love and compassion in a spiritual environment. Ramadan is the best time for this.
So this is how Ramadan iftars look like in Gaza. However, after iftars, the more spiritual aspects of Ramadan are prevalent.
When the time for Isha prayer comes, you see crowds of people heading to the mosques. It is the time for praying Taraweeh or Qiyam and doing more spiritual worshipping. The vibe and the atmosphere inside the mosque bring feelings of greatness into your heart. You see people from different ages standing in lines praying for the Almighty Allah and asking Him for forgiveness and for His blessings.
Ramadan is the month for worshipping Allah and increasing the good deeds like fasting, reading Quran, praying more, making supplications and asking Him for forgiveness. This holy month is a chance that everybody tries to win by getting closer to Allah and making Him pleased with us.
You also see people in various corners reading Quran and others making supplication. However, there is another kind of deeds that people like doing, despite their hard economic situation.
In Ramadan, people tend to spend more money for the sake of Allah. That's why in Ramadan we see an increase in charity giving, donations and visits to poor needy families. It's the month to remember all those in need and share what we have with them. Everyone feels blessed in Ramadan.
Ramadan is indeed the month for spirituality and living the true meaning of Islam. We searched in Gaza for spiritual public ceremonies till we finally found this interesting place, the Palestinian Center for Research and Studies. Aside from Islamic and historic research, this center holds spiritual public ceremonies, celebrating the various Islamic occasions. It was established in 2003 by Sheikh Ahmed Kortam for a very clear purpose.
Palestinians live under hard conditions that might make materialistic things have a greater value. Here, we try to create a spiritual environment that would isolate them from their materialistic concerns and bring them closer to Allah and purify their hearts.
Along with all ceremonies and occasions on Muslim calendar, Ramadan has a special taste and atmosphere here.
We hold spiritual public ceremonies at the beginning of Ramadan as a welcoming and ceremonies at the end as a farewell. And every night throughout the holy month, we hold Taraweeh prayers, Quran recitation circles, supplications, spiritual songs, and religious hymns.
You can see the whole family in this ceremony, men, women, and children. They all left everything behind to come here and enjoy Islamic activities that meet their spiritual needs in Ramadan.
With ceremonies and activities like these, Palestinians in Gaza celebrate Ramadan every year. And when it ends, they spend the next year waiting for it with hopeful hearts. Mazen Naim, Press TV, Gaza.
While we're still in that part of the world, let's take you to Hebron, where shoppers are flooding into what was once an empty town and stimulating the economy for Ramadan. In a town that's been empty for over 15 years due to violence from settlers located in the center of the city, the local markets are resisting and finding new ways of attracting customers. Although this once empty city is now drawing customers from all over Palestine, the question remains, how long will this last as the Israeli settlement in the center of the city continues to expand?
Since 1994, the old city of Hebron, otherwise known to Palestinians as Al-Khalil, became a ghost town due to 600 Israeli settlers moving into the area and effectively closing half of the old city. However, this Ramadan, local businesses have found a way of resisting both the occupation and bringing in new business. With the support of Hebron Rehabilitation Committee and the Chamber of Commerce, they have worked to revive the old city by cutting prices on all goods. Due to the violence that has been inflicted on the local population by both soldiers and Israeli settlers, the businesses are now dispelling myths. What was a ghost town, the area is now bustling with customers seeking bargains for Ramadan.
Many Palestinian organizations and many Palestinian youth movements started a campaign to bring back the families and bring back the customers to this part of Hebron to challenge the Israeli policy to transfer the Arabs from here and to keep the Palestinian identity of this, the old city of Hebron. And especially in Ramadan, because Ramadan is a holy month for the Muslims, and the resistance, motivated inside themselves. So more people, they come, they challenge. The closure, they challenge the Israeli measures.
The local inhabitants have suffered greatly in the old city, which remains the lens of the occupation in the West Bank.
It has been 12 years since the occupiers closed it. The occupiers don't want the people to benefit and have their freedom.
The city of Hebron is surrounded with checkpoints, roadblocks, military barriers and Israeli watchtowers, and many of the exits from the souk are blocked or restricted.
What was once the busy, bustling heart of the city became a ghost town after a high number of attacks by both settlers and soldiers. However, the locals are counteracting that by cutting all prices and stimulating business in the centre of the town.
Following the closure of Shehada Street after the Goldstein massacre in 1994, where an Israeli settler massacred Palestinians praying in Ibrahim Mosque, the Israeli army closed Shehada Street, the main business district in the old city. Furthermore, people suffered prolonged curfews in 2001, which effectively emptied the old city center of trade.
The harassments that those people are being subjected to from the settlers themselves, and those soldiers who are guarding them. And this is main thing, especially for those who are youngsters and a little bit hesitant to move there to avoid the Israeli soldiers in that area and settlers. This is one. The other thing is that, the shop owner really is not interested to open his shop or to open any shop in an area where there is no pedestrians, there is no business, there is no people coming back and forth and moving in that area.
According to the Palestinian Ministry of National Economy, there were 1,610 shops licensed before September 2000. However, until now, from the 650 of the shops and storage units still remaining in the old city, only 10% are still in function. A dairy shop which has suffered in recent years is now cutting their prices up to 30%, which has vastly boosted their number of shoppers and resulted in their product being in high demand.
Economic circumstances is extremely bad due to the closure of the stores and due to the gangs of the settlers. The people are attacked by rocks and sound bombs. We suffer a lot, especially the old city residents, as well as the city of Hebron. Us being here is a form of resistance itself.
The Before Ramadan, there were only 154 shops open in the old city. However, due to the cut prices and people flocking from all over the West Bank, 300 have now opened, and it's still increasing.
The old city is facing Israeli forces and settlers. They humiliate us and close our stores. So we decided to break this border and open the old city, to give discounts over the products all year long, and to stand here, and not to let the city go down.
The souk is focusing their business on local products, such as traditional Palestinian dresses, kaffirs, local handicrafts, and food stalls selling local dairy and traditional Palestinian food. Nell Burton for Reporters File, occupied Hebron, Al-Khalil.
Charity work is what Muslims do a lot of, especially in the holy month of Ramadan. More and more poor Nigerian Muslims have continued to receive free food for the breaking of their fast during the holy month. Press TV's Danjuma Abdullahi, reporting from Abuja, the Nigerian capital, says the generosity is offered under a food bank project by the Al-Habibiya Islamic Society of Nigeria. Have a look.
The Al-Habibiya Islamic Society of Nigeria conceived of the idea of a food bank in 2004. The aim is to provide food to poor Nigerian Muslims in Abuja who are unable to feed themselves during the holy month of Ramadan.
Here now we have organizational collaboration. So many organizations, including Christian, join us. The scope of this program has also become wider. Before we only feed in one spot, now we also supply so many other small villages.
Islamic scholars here have continued to teach people that Ramadan is not just about abstaining from food and drink from dawn to dusk. It is more about giving thanks to Allah for providing sustenance to mankind.
One of the ways of showing this gratitude is by sharing the little one has with others. It's about 2 hours to the time of the breaking of fast, and the Al-Habibiya kitchen is situated right here behind me. We're going to move in there and try and see what is there on the menu for this evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hajia Aisha is the head of the kitchen here, and we want to find out what you have on the menu for this evening.
Okay, what we have on the menu is boiled yam and fish sauce. And we also have snacks, puff puff to go, and tea also to go with.
Okay, tell me how many people you have that are helping out, and on what basis are they helping out here?
Okay, they're all volunteers, and we have about 15 of us here.
Hundreds of Muslims are fed here every day. And you look at them, their physical and mental being, and you know this is poverty. So I am giving my time, my body, my brain, my money, my energy, everything God has endowed me with to make sure that these people eat a good meal.
The yam and fish sauce is usually dished in several plastic containers. Other fried pastries are also prepared to be served with hot tea later during the iftar. At about an hour to the time for breaking the fast, the people started coming into the Al-Habibiya Masjid. With the iftar time fast approaching, many performed the necessary ablution. About 300 people have already gathered and await the call to prayers. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. At the call of the Maghrib prayers, date fruits were distributed to each of the people. Tea poured in plastic cups were also distributed. If the tea is too hot, there is an ingenious way of cooling it. The mandatory 3-rakat Maghrib congregational prayers were performed. Then the group settled down to be served the main meal for the iftar.
We try not to repeat the same meal for 2 days. We make sure we alternate it. Yesterday we had beans, beans porridge, and inshallah tomorrow, we're going to have jollof rice with chicken.
The Al-Habibiyya Society believes that Allah is using its activities as guide and model for the Ummah.
When you are here, you now discover that you must help your brothers. And this time around, it gives you joy that you are part of this. And also, when it gives us, those of us who are the organizers, helping us to be able to be our brother's keeper, that these are people that there is nobody to say well done, there's nobody to say thank you, there's nobody to say, oh, we are grateful, but we're just doing this out of the love of Almighty Allah.
This year, the Islamic group is targeting to feed 1,500 persons on a daily basis. The Catholic Archbishop of Abuja, John Onaikon, dropped in with his entourage and joined Muslims to break the fast. It is the kind of good neighborliness that the Al-Habibiyya Society is encouraging.
Muslim and Christian has never been enemy. We've never been antagonistic to ourselves. It is when some intruders, I use that word, now came in, that they are trying to set up against ourselves. I said, no.
The Islamic group says it will not encourage any evil plan to set Christians and Muslims against each other in Nigeria. Danjuma Abdullahi for Reporters File, Abuja.
Our next report takes us to Italy. For Muslims living in earthquake-stricken Emilia-Romagna, this year's Ramadan is like no other. Despite the extremely difficult situation, the month of fasting is tightening bonds in local communities. Press TV's Max Cervilli has our next report.
Emilia-Romagna is one of Italy's wealthiest and most developed regions. Located in the north of the Italian peninsula, this region is internationally known for being home to car maker Ferrari and Parmigiano cheese. Emilia-Romagna is also known for being one of the most advanced models of intercultural integration in Italy.
Local administrations in our region have been promoting migrant integration and mutual understanding through dialogue and exchange for a very long time.
Here in Emilia-Romagna, there is a high level of integration, but it must be clarified what integration means. To us, being part of the whole means being able to receiving and giving respect to leading a decent life. In this region, we indeed have all these things.
In the Emilia-Romagna region, there are about 30,000 Muslims, two major mosques, and several prayer centers. Muslims are mainly concentrated in the most industrialized areas of the region, and the majority of them are from Northern Africa.
My name is Fatiha. I am from Morocco, from a city called Mohammedia.
Most believers in this region are from Tunisia, Morocco, and Algeria.
Soumaya.
My name is Soumaya. My hometown is Tanger in Morocco.
Over 2 months ago, on May 20, an earthquake of 6.0 magnitude struck Emilia-Romagna, killing 7 people, injuring dozens, leaving 6,000 people homeless and damaging historic buildings as well as warehouses and factories. 9 days later, a new double earthquake hit the same areas, killing another 20 people and injuring 300. This second wave of quakes crumbled church roofs and Renaissance-era towers, causing panic among residents living in the tents since the May 20 earthquake. The number of people made homeless in the region went up from 6,000 to 14,000. A few weeks later, one of the major Italian daily newspapers, La Repubblica, published an article in which it was reported that about 50% of the people living in the Emilia-Romagna's emergency camps were Muslims. The earthquake epicenter was located near San Felice sul Panaro, a small town with a population of 10,000.
The problem is that the majority of the Muslim people, the majority of us, live in older buildings that were declared unsafe by the civil protection. We cannot go back to our houses. An endless series of aftershocks was recorded after the quake, and even these days, new smaller quakes are still hitting this area.
Presently, in our 10 cities, we have about 400 Muslims out of a total of 1,000 people. We know very well how important Ramadan is for them.
With the holy month of Ramadan beginning on July 20th, Muslims living in the emergency camps were worried of not being able to celebrate the month of fasting in the way they usually do. despite the fact that Italy's deteriorating economic and the dire situations in the tents have dampened the spirits, most believers in the ten cities feel that fasting and religious practices should remain the priority during the holy month.
Ramadan has been really tough this year. Aftershocks never cease. Temperatures have often reached 40 degrees and life in tent cities can be really hard at times. Many people have lost their jobs and their properties. Furthermore, the fact that believers cannot celebrate Ramadan at home has made it more difficult.
There is not much to do in the emergency camps most of the time, and heat and thirst are hard to deal with. Celebrating the Ramadan when you are not at home is very different, but I'm glad I'm here with my family and friends. I was raised here in Italy, in one of the regions that produce the best food. When I am fasting and see my non-Muslim friends eating delicious things, it makes my mouth water. But I know it is just a matter of time. It is a month of purification, and I am glad I am observing it.
In San Felice sul Panaro, the level of interaction between local government and the Muslim community has always been fruitful. The long-standing dialogue between the local councillors and the leaders of the Islamic community has resulted in a series of initiatives to facilitate the establishment of religious facilities, even in the emergency camps.
Keeping the dialogue open is our top priority. After the earthquake, we knew it would be hard for the Muslim people to celebrate the Ramadan, given the circumstances. That's why we set up some extra facilities for them.
We are grateful to the municipality. Our Islamic center has been declared unsafe, and the councillors gave us another place where we can pray and cook our food.
I am preparing Moroccan meat with onion, tomatoes, capsicum, pumpkin, a bit of everything.
Me? I'm making some delicious cakes called boyeo.
It's time for us to leave San Felice sul Panaro and its residents, who will have to deal with the disastrous effects of the earthquake for a very long time. One of the blessings of the fasting month of Ramadan is the relationship between people. While visiting the earthquake-hit areas, it seemed to us that the Muslim and non-Muslim inhabitants in the emergency camps genuinely form one community. Max Civili, Press TV, San Felice sul Panaro.
And thanks for watching this program. Please send us your comments and suggestions to reportersfile@presstv.ir. Tell us how we're doing. Your opinion matters to us. See you all again next week.